Well, there's a new AI out that produces video. It turns your text into video.
Oh, yeah. I've read about that.
And I mean, unless you really, really look, you would never know that somebody didn't record this.
Huh.
It's crazy good. And that's what he was talking about. He goes, you know, when it first came out, it was ridiculous. But he goes, it's so good that you have a hard time telling the difference between real and what's been generated.
Hmm. That's nuts.
That's scary.
I know. Yeah. Just by typing in text, you know.
You know what's really weird about this is we did a whole episode about AI about 3 weeks ago and you weren't here.
No. We should have generated Tony.
We should have used AI to make a little cox. No,
we would have got undesirable results. Yeah.
Dirty Bikers Podcast, presented by Memphis Shades, the clear choice for custom windshields and bearings for your motorcycle. And Wild Ass Seats, stay in the saddle longer and in total comfort, no matter your butt or budget. Are you following the 5 Dirty Bikers on social media? Find us on Facebook and look us up on Instagram and TikTok at 5 Dirty Bikers.
Well, it might have been true results.
Make a tiny cox.
They don't call me the Tic Tac King for nothing.
at least she'll freshen her breath.
Yeah.
Dave, where are you at? You're not at home.
I'm up in Pittsburgh with the grandkids. They wanted me to come up because my birthday is tomorrow, so they wanted me to be here to celebrate my birthday.
Did you ride up there?
No, I didn't ride. I'm trying to actually not ride right now to keep the miles down because I'm getting ready to head to South Texas, and I'm trying to time my mileage in between my prepaid maintenance. So.
Oh.
It was almost hot here today.
It was hot here. It was really hot.
Yeah.
It was cool driving up though, because I haven't driven in a long time on any trips, and you know, definitely a lot faster getting here.
Dude, did you see all the fucking snow that California got?
Yeah, dude. It was like 12 feet.
I was just watching that before
shit.
I came up here.
That's what they get for bragging about their weather.
Fucking crazy, dude.
Where was that snow at?
I think everywhere.
Northern California.
Yeah.
Nah, I figured it was probably northern.
They said the top of the mountain peaks was getting like 190 mile an hour winds.
It wasn't just California though, right? It was that whole region.
Yeah, that whole region got it. Yeah, 5 or 6 feet of snow.
Tell you what, we had 40 to 50 mile an hour winds last night. It was pretty nuts.
Yeah, we still got those. There was
I had 100 mile an hour ass winds last night.
That's really too bad.
What'd you eat?
I don't know, man, but let me tell you what. Whew.
Did you guys
had it happening.
You guys have had weather in the 70s. Did you get 80 degrees already, Tony?
No, today was like 76, 77.
God damn.
I think it got to. I mean,
did you see it was like 92 in Dallas a couple of days ago?
Yeah, wow. My wife was in Austin last week, and she said it was 95.
Mm. That's just insane, man.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah, we've had, I mean, our winter's been super mild, and I think I'll be riding in two weeks. I'll probably be able to get my bike out. Well, I shouldn't say that. It all depends. I have a couple of parts to get yet for my mod, and then I will be good to go.
Well, I'm telling you, this climate change, man, all these changing weather patterns are a total pain in the ass, because I've been sitting here planning this trip, and I can't figure out when to pull the fucking trigger.
To Texas, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know?
Dude. I mean, what are you thinking? Because you're probably going to be pretty safe, I would say, by the end of March, beginning of April.
Well, that's right now. That's where I've kind of settled into. I actually wanted to go earlier in March, but I just think it's just too much wonkiness right now. So I'm probably looking at going into March, first week of April.
We had a day last week where we had all four seasons in 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's getting ready to happen this week here after today. It's gonna go to the shitter.
It's gonna cool off a little bit.
Yeah, we had that. We had the same. Ours was a little bit more, but we had like last Monday, it was 55 degrees, and then at 1 o'clock in the morning, it started snowing, and they canceled schools, and we got 9 inches of snow on Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, so it was absolutely insane.
Shit needs to get predictable again.
I just hope it doesn't rain all fucking spring and summer like it did last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to as well.
I've heard that this June this year is not supposed to be. I heard we're supposed to have a cool June. That's what I heard.
We'll find out.
Well, fuck, anything will be cool compared to last summer. And, you know, 100 plus days. For
it was fucking hot last year, man. Yeah. It was fucking miserable. It was like an asshole out, hot and moist.
You know what else is kind of hot and moist right now?
What?
I think some of these this last release, man, that Harley just talked about last week.
Your last release was hot and moist.
The last release was hot and moist.
It was hot and moist, man.
No more power.
No. You guys see those bikes with that new Les Paul paint job?
I did. It's got that new guitar paint job, which is cool.
Yeah.
I like that that new paint job. You know, that's two or three years in a row now they've put out at least one paint job a year that has been really good. And if you think about it, when you look at the cost, right? Because I've heard so many people say, oh, for $2,000 for blah, 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 I wouldn't pay for that paint job. Try to go out and get your bike custom painted.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, $2,000 is a deal.
Right. I mean, they raised the price of that bike $1,900 for that paint job. Yeah. That's a fucking steal. That is a steal. You'd never get that paint job. That paint job right now, if you went to a custom painter, would be all of $6,000 to $7,000.
Yep. Yep. Well, you better like the colors though, because that's all you're getting.
Right. I mean, you go and have a custom bagger painted right now by like a true custom painter, you're going to be real close to $10,000.
Yeah.
No, it's a cool paint job. You know, the El Diablo was cool. What's the name? What are they calling this?
Tobacco fade.
Tobacco fade.
The
yeah.
tobacco fade.
They should just call it Les Paul.
Dude. Les Paul or Stratocaster. They both fire. Yeah,
I think
that
there's some
job.
Copyright.
Yeah, probably. Infringement.
No, they're cool.
No, well, they did. They copied it right. That's for
they
sure.
did.
Dustin, did you get either one of these bikes at your dealership yet?
No, we did get the revival bike, the Hydra Glide. We got that on Friday, and I didn't get to play with it in the studio or anything yet because it came up late.
Okay.
But it got on the floor Saturday. It's still on the showroom floor apparently.
I think if you played with it in the studio, you might run people off.
That's what you call claiming.
that's how they're breaking sales records.
Hydra Glide or Astro Glide? What was the
Yes.
Yes, big anus.
So let's see a picture of it. Let's see a picture of it.
What, the big anus?
Yeah, the big anus. The big anus Astro Glide.
Nope, not my cup of tea. I don't mind. The tank badge is kind of cool.
I think it's the fringe that kills it for me, but some people are going to dig it, dude. It just pays homage back to the 50s.
It does.
I mean,
so it's on the soft tail, right? It's a soft tail.
Soft tail chassis, yeah.
Yeah.
They put a soft tail. That's a heritage. I mean, yeah, it's a heritage. They put a different windshield. They put the custom lighting on it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's on a mono shock, right?
Yeah.
This is a modern. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a heritage. Yep. Yeah. It's the heritage soft tail, and they put a different badge on it. Otherwise, it's a heritage.
Yeah. No, it's definitely
that paint job, though. I'm telling you right now. That paint job that you have on this bike right here would make a hell of a nice looking Cholo.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a deal.
Yep.
Here's another shot.
No,
See, that looks better at night. That looks pretty good.
It looks better at night.
It looks better at night.
Lots of things look better at night.
How many girls would say that too?
Many of us said that, right?
You know, I don't know about that fucking Lone Ranger seat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the thing with all these revival bikes. At least three of them, right? They put these seats on. And I don't know how the hell you ride with those any distance.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody's riding this bike. People are buying this bike to put it in the
garage.
Yeah. Take it to a bike night. I mean, they only made what 1750 of them,
1700 or something.
Yeah, 1750.
People are buying these as collector deals. They're not.
Jay Leno's got one in his garage already.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty. Here's a good shot of the badge.
I like the badge. The badge is very cool looking.
It's throwback. I mean, it almost looks identical to the old 50s style, except it's got a 114 in it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys, because I didn't research this, so I don't know, but where does the Hydro come from? Is this because was the first like water cooled somehow, or
it's not water cooled.
No, but where does that name
originate? From?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know where the
because when you got on it, you pissed your pants.
maybe when they showed you how much it was going to cost, you pissed your pants.
Yeah, you pissed your pants.
Maybe we should throw it in
hydraulic front ends.
Oh,
hydraulic front ends. I knew that something.
Look at fucking Dustin with his Google foo, man.
Google's good for something, I guess.
Yeah.
His Google foo is strong.
Speaking of Google, everybody, in case you haven't heard or gotten the hint yet, Nappy's not here. I heard something about a national pegging convention up in the Northeast.
Yeah, I think it was in New Hampshire or New Hamster.
New Hamster.
Dave Goldstar, bro.
It's up there in Gerbil, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Dave went deep on that one.
He did.
Yeah, he broke out the Gerbil. I heard Jared packed some extra paper towel rolls or something.
I think Jared stayed home.
I think he made sure that he got searched at the airport.
Mm. Yeah. Going to New Jersey.
Oops, how did that get in there? Search me.
Yeah, that's New Gerbil, New Jersey. No, seriously though, where is she?
She's at a work thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For 2 weeks, so she won't be here next week, everybody.
Two weeks of pegging.
Ryan's got balls on his mic.
Two
right
long
now.
Weeks.
2 weeks of pegging.
Ryan, does that ball beer koozie of yours double function as a wind muff for your mic or something?
Yeah, sure. It would. Yeah. It could.
It's a Mickey Mouse ball house.
There's something up there. Lean a little
it's
closer.
As cold as it is, it might be a dong warmer. Just strap that thing on. Mm.
So anyway, back to the Hydroglide.
Hydroglide.
So you said it had hydraulic suspension. Is that what it was?
I guess.
That's where the name come from.
Okay.
Yep.
They added a little oil to that suspension. That was big. That was something big back then.
So what's the price difference between this and a Heritage?
A lot. I'm going to say that right off the bat.
Let's look that up.
I bet you it's not terrible. I mean,
we have a starting price of $25K.
Oh shit, that is I take that back because the Heritage I think sells for a lot more than I thought it did.
Heritage is 20 now, isn't it?
That's what I thought, but somebody told me the Heritage was more than that.
$22,499.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Damn,
that's a lot. So another couple of grand.
Yeah,
$3,000 for. You know, for some accessories and a bike that's numbered, I don't know. Maybe
in a seat that you're not going to ride on,
right? I just don't see how, like Tony said, people are buying these to put in their garage, but you're not going to get $20,000 for that bike in 10 years from now.
No,
you know what I mean. Even if it had no miles on it, you're not going to get that money back out of it. So, I don't understand the collector appeal. Just me.
These are not.
I think it booms toward the
pay money.
the older crowd, man. You know what I mean? It's a nostalgia thing for a lot of people, I think.
I think an old dude, you know, I think a dude that's, you know, maybe just a little bit older than Dave would buy a bike like this and ride it like you guys said, to a bike night or to a, you know, car night or whatever that those, you know, retired guys do, maybe ride it to Starbucks or something. I don't know.
But I mean, you know, for instance, what was it last year when they came out with the new version of your bike, Ryan? Was it last year or the year before?
What do you mean?
When they came out, the FXR?
Oh, the El Diablo, you mean?
Was it the El Diablo? No,
the El Diablo was a revival a couple of years ago.
Was the revival? Yeah.
But that's a lowrider ST, dude. That's a modern.
Yeah, but what I mean, it was a kickback to the old FXR.
Yeah, and it was. Yep.
It hit a chord with you because of nostalgia.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and if you would have had, probably if you would have had the, you know, some money laying around that it wouldn't hurt, you probably would have bought it just to have it.
You're going to ride the shit out of that, dude. I mean, bro, that's a modern bike.
All these are modern bikes. But what I'm trying to say is I think people buy these because it strikes a chord of some nostalgia for them.
Right. I hear that.
It's not something you're going to go in and if you're buying a bike to ride, you're not going to buy one of those.
Right.
Yeah. And we have a really good customer who actually has a 52, and he brought it into the shop one day, and I got photos of it and everything, and first thing one of our salesmen did when this came in was call that guy.
Oh, I'm sure he'll probably
I bet you he probably came and looked at it on Saturday. If not, he will this week.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that bike's a little bit different than like the, you know, that new tobacco paint job. Those are more like special editions. And ironically, Harley has a pretty storied history with special edition motorcycles. They've been doing this for a really long time. You know, when they put out the Sturgis edition Fat Boys, and they had a Sturgis edition Night Train back in the day, and they've had different, the FXR had a Liberty, they called it the Liberty bike back in the day. I think it was in the early 90s. And so, Liberty edition. So they've been doing this for quite a few years. And I think it's a successful business plan, opportunity for them in terms of, like Tony said, striking a chord or people wanting that special edition motorcycle. If you get one of those tobacco STs and there's only, say, 5,000 in the country, you might have an opportunity where you'll never see somebody with that bike.
Yeah, but I think there's a difference here, right? I mean, that tobacco, whatever, Les Paul paint, that's a paint set.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
These revival bikes, that's a completely different thing. So, I mean, I could see, I mean, if you like that paint set, I mean, honestly, dude, for a custom paint set, I mean, you know, you're going to buy that bike and you're going to ride it like you would ride it if it didn't have that paint set. But these revival bikes, I think, are a whole different, it's a whole different jam there.
Yeah.
The thing with that revival bike. Go ahead, Dustin.
I was just going to say the reason this one got released, because it's the 75th anniversary of the release of this motorcycle back in, what was it, 49 or?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why this one in particular got released this year.
Okay.
But that revival bike, so if you wanted to ride it, if you replace the seat, guess what? It's no longer a revival bike because you pretty much took the one fucking thing off that made it a revival bike.
Oh, yeah, right. 100%. To me, that's the problem with these, right? As soon as you
can't change them,
start making mods to it to address comfort or whatever, well, you've just
it's no longer a revival. Yeah. Right. However, at that point, it's a heritage.
However, it's 100% modern motorcycle, so you could get on it the way that it sets and drive it across the country, no problem.
Yeah, you could.
Well, do you think maybe changing the pipes would still be an okay situation with this?
I think the pipes would be.
Putting some mufflers on it.
Chrome or whatnot. But, I mean, you know, you take those bags off and the seat and the fucking windshield.
Painted windshield, yeah.
Yeah, or change the bars, any of the aesthetic part of it. I mean, then you got a heritage. You don't have revival.
You've ruined the revival aspect of it for sure.
Yeah. There's going to be a guy out there, though. There's gonna be
somebody out there for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like that. What was that fucking bike last year that paint set, the 25th anniversary?
Johnny? Oh.
No, the 25th anniversary paint set.
Yeah. Just like that, that Heritage I saw up at Bluegrass. You change that, and to me, it you know, that was a bike you had to like the way it set.
Yeah, but again, that was just a paint set.
It was just a paint set. Yeah, but it was absolutely. But it was one of those things. It was the 25th anniversary, though.
Yeah.
Even though it was a paint set.
Well, I've seen a couple of. So do you guys remember the first one, the one that looked like the Elvis bike?
Yeah,
3 years ago or
the
whatever.
Electric Glide?
Yeah, that Electric Glide. Mm-hmm. I've seen on some of the performance bagger pages, I've seen that bike made into a performance bagger where they have, you know, put a 2-to-1 pipe on it, different bars. And, essentially you just took that paints, you know, again, it was a paint set situation where you could have, you know, they took the seat that came off of it because it was kind of that similar situation with the seat. Yeah. Right. And they made it into a performance bagger. And I was like, you know, you could have done that on just a regular standard electric glide and not.
Could have saved a ton of money.
Right. And saved yourself some money for sure. So
I'll tell you what, I don't know. I've been looking at this shit and Harley's doing a great job, I think, of pricing people out of these fucking motorcycles. I'm changing gears here a little bit. I'm just saying.
It's doing a great job of making them unaffordable.
I mean, they really are. I mean, they're making bikes for people with disposable income.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at $40,000 and $50,000, that is a lot of fucking money for a motorcycle.
So, just to clarify, you're talking specifically about these special editions. You're not talking about what they've because I think we all have agreed already on the regular bikes. They have driven a shit ton of value.
Yeah, they have driven a shit ton of value for an older market. They haven't done shit for the younger market.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that too while you weren't here.
Yeah.
No, it's a real thing for sure.
Yeah.
But you got to think they got some sort of 5-10 year plan. Now the CEO seems too smart not to.
I mean, I'm not. They've been doing a great job at the releases they've been doing and the stuff they've been doing. It's really exciting and it's driving a lot of interest. But, dude, I thought for sure the Nightster was gonna spark more than it has.
You know, the thing that's had me kind of thinking and not, I'm just not going to say worrying about, but just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with the Softail line.
What do you mean?
I mean,
it's getting smaller.
It's getting smaller and
it's getting,
to be honest
stale.
With you, it's stale, right? There's not a lot of excitement.
Stale. Yeah.
Again. And you know, as you guys know, when I first saw this paint set, I thought, oh fuck, another special edition Lowrider ST. You know, I didn't realize it was for a broader set of bikes, but you know, again, they put that on the LRS. I mean, what are they going to do with soft? Is this pretty much going to be it? There's going to be one soft
really,
tail, two, the Heritage
really,
and the Lowrider.
Yeah, they've really doubled down on the Lowrider. The Lowrider seems to be their flagship soft tail that at least they're pushing.
The Street Bob still exists, Dave.
That bike, the new paint schemes they put on the 24 Street Bob, that burst blue, is magnificent looking on that bike. And the billiard
blue
looks good too.
Bike, man.
Yeah, I mean it wears the tins so well because there's so much less of it than some of these other bikes, so the color really stands out.
You know what? You know what I think the downfall to the Street Bob is? I think the Street Bob would be a lot more popular. See, this is what they did with the Dyna. And why the Dyna became a popular motorcycle was that it was just a little bit bigger than the Sportster, but it had a much bigger gas tank. And with the Street Bob, they went back down to a smaller size gas tank. If they went back up to a 4.5 or a 5 gallon gas tank, even a 4.5 gallon gas tank instead of a 3.5 gallon gas tank on the Street Bob, I think it would sell better. Because I just think that bike's gas tank is too small to make it appealing. But for a baseline Harley Davidson, you can get that Street Bob has a 114 in it now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The Street Bob one, it hauls ass, dude. I mean, it's a pissy little bike.
Right.
But I think Harley's whole focus right now is the American touring. You know what I mean? I think what they're pushing. And the Softail doesn't fit that bill.
No.
The only Softail that really fits that bill is the Heritage or the Lowrider ST.
Right. Yep.
If you notice, too, at the end of the month, Harley's doing a national supported event across all dealerships called the Grand American Touring Launch Party. So it's only focusing on the new street well, and road glides.
Think about it. They have the Sportster, like the Sportster S or whatever it is, and the Nightster, right? And the Street Bob. Everything else that Harley makes right now has bags.
Dude, I thought for sure when they released that Nightster, the way that they promoted it as a starting platform, and
it's too much. They priced it too high.
People could build it. I thought for sure we would see those fuckers everywhere.
Yeah, it's too high. It's priced too high.
But yeah,
because I mean, you know, let's face it, the Street Bob is the Sportster everybody really wants.
Yeah, the Street Bob is
right. Figure out a way to put that out at a lower price point and call it a day, you know?
Yeah. They need to, you know, do that consumer trickery, right? Where they price it just below 10 grand.
I don't know why they don't release some of the smaller displacement bikes out there. Like, Triumph and a lot of these other people are doing with these 450s, these 400s.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're making them, Tony. They're just not for the American market.
And I don't get it, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, you could price that bike at what, $6,500, $7,000.
Where are those bikes made?
Yeah.
Where are they made?
I think they're made in.
They're not made in the U.S., right?
So they're made in either Mexico or India.
So the minute they do that, which to be honest with you, I would like to see those bikes on the American market. But then you got to deal with all the drama from all the drama queens out there that are going to start vomiting all about the fact that the Harleys aren't made in the U.S.
Dude, no. Listen. Anybody that saw the custom chopper that we built with Jared Weems and gave away, anybody that came to any of the events and looked at that bike would have seen on that motorcycle that Harley has been buying bike parts and putting them on their bikes for 50
years. That wasn't Harley. That was AMF.
Well, call it what you will. There was a nice giant Japan stamp right on that.
Yeah, that was the AMF days of the Harley Davidson.
It was. I'm just saying. You know.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But I'm just saying that the minute that they did that they started selling those lower displacement bikes here, people would vomit and lose their shit over the fact that they're not built here in the U.S.
It's unfortunate that Harley has such a...
It is.
I don't know what you would call it, but, you know, other motorcycle manufacturers can get away with this shit, but it seems like Harley can't, you know?
No.
That's true. No.
But I agree.
Just like BSA. BSA's re-releasing, and it's an Indian-made bike. People are still buying it.
Is that one being manufactured in India again?
Yeah, yeah. The company that bought the name is they're based out of India. But
okay,
let's get into the Tobacco Fade Enthusiast Collection.
All right, let's look at it.
Fucking paint, man! Fucking paint.
I think it's a great. I personally think it's a great paint set.
Yeah,
I'm not jamming with the bikes they put it on here in this photo.
See, I think the ST looks pretty dope.
I think
he does. I think this is sacrilege, but I think the ST to me is played out. But the trike, you know, why?
Why not?
Because they're probably going to revamp that thing here before.
Because they have to bring all those green ones back and repaint them this color to get them out of the.
That's true, dude. That green. I've seen that green in person, and it looks worse than we thought.
Yeah, we got what model did we get in that bike? A Fat Boy or a Breakout, one of the two. And yeah, I'm not a fan. Seeing it in person, I finally made the judgment call. It kind of looks like ass.
I guarantee you, with this fucking paint, we're sitting here and we're like, this. You, when it shows up at the dealership, everybody's fucking jaw's going to drop.
I'm going to have to go pecker stamp it before it hits the showroom.
DNA that's in it.
You know what I love this badge.
That badge is awesome. I was going to ask you if you had a close up of that. That badge is super awesome.
This is a big improvement over the ST's generic painted badge. This thing is cool. It's an actual badge. It's not painted.
Is it that? That is a really cool looking badge.
Yeah,
I love the 1903. Fucker. Yeah, that is one of the coolest badges.
But here's the. We'll start with the Lowrider ST. Here's a first look at it.
That bike is hot looking right there, boy. You can think it's played out all you want, Dave. You better get used to it. That fucker's not going anywhere anytime soon.
I'm sure. I mean, this is going to end up being like everybody and their brother's got a fucking black Dyna, right? So everybody's going to have an ST that's not riding a touring platform.
Yeah, you know? Maybe.
They're all going to have a Lowrider, but it'll be different colors at least. But they're still going to have those fucked up bags where ones, they got to fix those, man. They're not even the same size bags.
That's true. They're not.
It's just like a bag and a half or a bag and two thirds.
You know what? My bag's not the same size on both sides, but I don't mind.
Yeah, one side goes a little lower than the other.
Yeah, one side's lower than the other, but you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Check in, mate. Fucking Dave's playing checkers. Tony's playing chess.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know.
Just out of curiosity, how much can you store in your largest bag?
Well, I don't know. Twins.
Which bag do you got?
I would be interested to see if the bags that Tony has on his bike right now and the bags that Dustin has on his bike right now, if they hold the same volume.
Are we talking about bags on the bike? Yeah. I thought Tony was talking about something else.
Mm-hmm. I thought we were talking about scrotal bags because I think my left bag holds at least triplets. Maybe.
I moved away from your scrotal bag, Johnny.
The right one? Not so much. But the left one, I'm telling you.
All right, enough with the wrinkle satchel. All
right. You probably hadn't cleaned those things since Beaver Shaver stopped sponsoring.
I know, right? Man. Shaver.
That's Dave's new business plan. He's gonna start start naming products for people. Yeah. Instead of Manscaped, it's now the Beaver Shaver.
Hey man, I'm opening the Mountain Beaver Clippers.
Mountain Beaver Clippers.
Mountain Beaver Clippers.
I'll have to sell those in Canada. That's where you probably get some good sales up there.
We're gonna need for the extra hairy where you don't have the time or the apparatus.
Anyway, what was your question, Ryan?
I said I would be very curious to see if the bags that Tony has his on his bike and the bags that Dustin has on his bike, if they hold an equal amount of things.
Well, Tony's got those high-end bags on his now.
He's got, he's got top-loading bags. But what I'm curious, like I said, I'm curious to see, if you were to load
the same.
Yeah, with the same amount of things, which one would hold more?
I don't think they're not huge.
That's what she said.
Yeah, they're not like.
Huge, I mean, what could you get? You get a 12-pack in each one of those, Tony?
My right side bag.
Yeah, you probably could.
My right side bag, I fit 2 6-packs, a jacket, a hat, a pair of sunglasses, all my documentation, and a phone charger.
The real challenge with those clamshell bags is just the fact that they close like a clamshell, right? I mean, you can't pack them as efficiently or as effectively as you can with top loaders.
Well, not if you were going to pack them without, like, if you use like a internal bag, you can pack them just as well. Because that's what I do with mine.
Anything that opens like a clam is a problem.
I mean, that's what I do with mine. Dave, when you pack your bags on your bike, do you pack them just putting stuff randomly in the bag?
Nothing is random on my bike. Everything is with intent. I have on my clutch side, I actually have a Harley bag. It's not like the regular liners. It's a it's a bag they made last year that I pack stuff in, and then I put it in the bag. The other bag is everything's packed. My rain gear, everything else is just packed
individually, right?
Yeah.
Dustin, do you have liners in yours?
No, but I'm actually going to get some before the trip to Whitewood because Hogworks makes some that's got different colored stitching on them.
Yep.
And they're about they run about $180. And I'm definitely getting those. That's going to be after I get my cam done.
I've been trying to find some for mine.
If they're like the ones for the Road Glide, you'll lose a little bit of storage.
Well, that's okay because I don't plan on taking a whole lot to Whitewood by springing the car.
To me, it's noticeable, but it's not as bad as I think some people said. I mean, because those are really thick.
Mm-hmm.
See, thick, I'd so like to find one that fit in the thing that you could put your stuff in, and then where you got to where you're going, you just grab it like a fucking grocery bag.
Just stick that's a goddamn Walmart.
That's what I've got on my clutch side.
Walmart bag in there, and just like a.
Hey
like
man, I'll put a fucking hefty in there. I don't give a damn.
That's what I did in South Africa. I had hefty bags that I kept stuff in.
Yeah. The bag liners are great because that's what I use. In fact, mine I think are Saddleman. I think Saddleman makes a bag liner for the extended bags, and that's what I've been using for a few years. And in fact, I've used mine so much I have a couple of them with holes in them, and I just threw some duct tape on them. Truly, because I mean, you never see them. The only time I use them is when I'm traveling on long trips. I fill them with all my clothes. I slide them in because that is absolutely great. I mean, we bring a cart out to our when we go on trips, we bring a cart out to our bikes and we just open up our cases and we throw all of our stuff on a cart and bring it right into the hotel because we lift everything out of our bags and works really, really well. It's a great way to pack. It's super efficient and saves you a lot of time when you're traveling.
Mm-hmm. So are all these bags tobacco covered, colored? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, these are.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure the reason they picked those bikes to put this special paint set on is they're trying to get rid of the inventory on those fairings. Not the Lowrider, the other two.
Oh, you bet.
What's the other ones they did? The Street Glide?
The Ultra Limited, right? And the Tri-Glide Ultra.
I bet you're right, Dave. I bet you're right. They threw some special paint on a bunch of stock fairings that they had that they're trying to get rid of.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a rich looking color in natural light.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a cool color.
I like the paint set. I really do.
That's a cool color.
They should paint a guitar pick on the side though.
Hmm.
Or they should have somehow got a pick guard into that design. That would have been cool.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the paint. Like you said, you go to any painter, you're going to pay $2,000 to $3,000 just for a single color on all your tins. This says fade in it, and it's got pinstriping.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a four color paint job.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to like it though. I mean, that's the thing, and you got to be all right with people having the same paint.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't think they're not going to have a ton of these out there, right?
Enthusiasts usually have a limited run. Too.
Yeah, you know I would say it's going to be it's a couple thousand,
probably for each unit.
Yep.
Each model.
But I mean, if you say they did a 2,000 run of that bike, and it's only $1,900 more, and you were looking at getting a Lowrider ST this year, and that bike came out. I'd have jumped all over it, even for $1,900 more.
You know, there's some poor bastard out there that paid about $8,000 for this paint job to have it custom done. And now he's going, the motherfuckers.
Right?
Had it painted to match his guitar.
Yeah, he did. He probably had it custom done, you know, and paid about $8,000 to do it. Now Harley's fucking mass producing it. Here you go.
So let me ask you guys, because we've been into a few years now where Harley's been doing this, right? The Revival bike, the paint set, the mid-year, whatever, the enthusiast. How much longer do you guys think this goes on, that they keep this model?
I think they keep it going until it's not profitable anymore.
They're going to juice this shit like the first Linkin Park album. It's just going to go on for a while.
It's working. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's
as long
working.
As people are buying them, they're going to keep making them.
Well, Dave, like I said, they've been – Harley's been doing this for a long time. The Liberty Edition FXR was in the early 90s. So,
but they haven't been pumping them out like this.
Sturgis Edition Fat Boy was what? Yeah, they did though. I mean, they've been doing this for 30 years. They just took a break of doing it. And, you know, because what did they used to do? They used to do a CVO every year of a bike that wasn't a bagger. They had CVO Road Kings. There's CVO Fat Boys out mm-hmm. there. There's CVO Dinas. They used to CVO do this.
Breakout,
yeah. Right. CVO Breakout. Exactly. So they've been doing this for a while. They've just changed the plan. Now they're doing this. They're calling it a revival. They're not pushing the CVO to different lines. So, I mean, I think this is what they've been doing, Dave. They've just shifted a little bit away from pushing a CVO down to a paint set or a revival or enthusiast or whatever. You know, they've just renamed something that they've done before.
I think they're taking a page out of Apple's book and just fucking you twice a year. They're giving you the same thing and putting different lipstick on it.
That might be. Might yeah. be.
I mean, it's just, you know, it really, I mean, I'm not going to say that because they have been producing a lot of new stuff lately, but they have been taking the same bike. Like Dave said, the lowrider, they've taken this lowrider and they've had 15 fucking versions of it with color in the last 3 years.
Yeah. If there's any Harley dealerships though, in the United States right now that still have a Fast Johnny on the floor, powder coat those wheels white and that fucker will fly off your.
Yeah. No, just, I mean, that was
it'll leave your dealership in a hot second.
That was a badass bike last year, that Fast Johnny. But, you know, again, same bike. I will say, though, that fucking STCVO is a bad motherfucker. The rest of them can eat a dick.
I'm ready for him to say, and it's in my garage.
It's a bad motherfucker.
That's why he's not looking too hard for those bag liners.
They did fucking nail it.
He might need one for an ST
one.
Bag.
They hit the nail on the head with that bike.
The tail end of those bikes still, to me, suck with that butt plug sticking out tail like they've got.
That's an easy fix. You can fix that.
Apparently, it's not too easy. I watched a video on how to fix that this morning, actually, how to remove that. And just because of the placement of the weird shit on the rear fender, you can just barely cover all the bullshit there if you put like a custom dynamics, what do they call them, the radius license plates or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you've got to drill four holes into your fender. Yeah, you got to drill the fender the way they did this.
You don't want to get too aggressive with that either. You'll drill your tire.
Well, yeah, but it looked like there was only like a quarter of an inch like play.
Wow.
Right, to cover up all the ugly shit that is left on that fender when you pull those parts off. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
somebody will come out with something.
There'll be an aftermarket part, I'm sure.
So you talking about?
Yeah,
this guy right there.
Yeah, yeah,
okay. The dildo.
Yeah, looks like a micro penis with a heart on. Picking up that.
You've seen a lot of those, huh, Dave?
I was going to say I've never seen one of those, Dave. But
yeah, like, you know, the Google will show you all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, every time Dave goes to take a piss, he sees one.
That's right.
You know what's funny about this whole thing, and it's ironic at the same time. Here's a name that hasn't come up in a while. You remember Tom Dirty D's?
Yeah, Tom.
He mentioned on one of his lives, I don't know if I was on this one or just watching it, of this idea of taking these old motorcycles and bringing them back with new tech in them. So I was thinking about this yesterday. I was like, this guy had it right.
Well, he was talking about bringing like the old motors back too.
Yeah.
I think I remember a couple of those where he was like, bring back the shovel head and the iron head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people want. They say they want it until they get it.
Yeah, they don't want it.
Because there are no running motherfuckers. You know
otherwise
what I mean?
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of new motors, did you guys see what S&S dropped at Daytona?
The 136, yep.
The 136 crate motor. Milwaukee 8, 136 crate motor.
I haven't seen that, really?
Yep. It's a full, I mean, you can go to S&S and buy it. It's a full, you know, it's a full S&S build Milwaukee 8. Great motor, 136.
I mean, dude, how big are these fucking things going to get?
You can put that right in your bagger. You could put that right in your bike right now, Tony. Bolt right in, no problem.
I know you could. I mean, but fuck.
what's the cost on that? You know,
I don't know. I'm not really sure what the cost is. Google machine says.
I mean, they're getting. I mean, I think it's cool as shit that the M8 can take. You know what I mean? You can build it to something that these people are doing. You know, the 135s, the 131s, 137s and shit. Mm-hmm. But goddamn, dude, how much is enough power?
I know. That's my question.
Well, why? How much is enough?
I've said it all along. It's a dick measuring contest.
And what right? are you going to get? I mean, like 8 miles a gallon?
Well, I think with a crate motor, you're going to do okay, Dave. Right? Because I mean, they're building all the specifications right into that larger motor. I don't think you're automatically going to get lesser gas mileage. You know what I mean? There's trucks that get good gas mileage with huge motors in them.
It has to be a dick measuring contest, because I'll tell you what, I don't need any more fucking motor in my bike.
Right.
I'll probably think the same thing in 10 days whenever I get.
But the thing is, I mean, even with your bike, Dustin, I mean, when I first got that Slim with the 107, I mean, my fucking jaw was on the ground. Mm-hmm. How powerful that bike was. You know what I mean? It's all relative.
Of course, we come from an 883, but I mean, yeah. you did more.
But
work
I mean, even against it, the yeah. twin cam, the M8, was fucking a beast.
Yeah.
You get used to it, right? But I think that none of us outride the motors that are in our bikes right now.
No, not at all.
Tell you what, you put a 130 something, whatever it is, you better have fucking brakes. Yeah. Look like a fucking they came off a semi to stop that motherfucker.
I'd have to get dual discs if I got something that big.
Not only that, but you can't be getting too feisty on the throttle either when you have a motor that big. Hey Dave, I was watching your video today and you said something about taking your bike in and you're on the second set of rear brake pads.
I was wondering if you were going to pick up on that.
What the fuck is going on?
What, do you just fucking let your foot on there?
Are you just riding the brake all the time?
I don't know. I've been trying to pay attention, right, since that happened. In fact, on the trip up here when I did that 30-degree run-up, I was trying to pay attention if I'm overusing the rear brake. I actually fucked up. I tried just not to use it at all, and that wasn't smart. I don't know, but that's the second set of rear brakes I've been.
I just put those tires on my bike last summer, those Dunlop American Elites, and I had my brakes serviced and my brake pads were fine. And they just drained the fluids and serviced my, cause I had some moisture in my lines.
Yeah, but, no, I wouldn't. They told me when I took the bike in for maintenance, the tech was like, dude, I can't even pass you for state inspection. I do think it's interesting because I've got over 25,000 miles on the bike. And if I remember,
I have 45,000 on mine.
I know. If I remember correctly, the first time I started having trouble and had to have them replaced, I was at around 12,000.
Okay.
So this seems to dragging? Be the thing. I don't know, man.
So I got almost 28,000 on mine, and I still got the stock brake pads on mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
stops fine. They're starting to make noise. I may change them before.
I mean, I never on the Fat Bob. I never replaced. I had 25,000 miles on that bike when I traded it in. I never replaced the rear brake pads.
Maybe it's just your way to the bike.
Had you replaced the front though, Dave, on your Fat Bob?
I had to replace the rotors under warranty because one of them warped.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, Tony. I don't know.
Maybe it's just the weight of the bike. You know, loaded down because a lot of the riding you're doing, you're loaded. So, yeah.
are you braking when you ride? Are you using your brake as opposed to your clutch and your throttle? Because I know you ride in a lot more like curvy roads and things like that than I do. But are you using your brakes as your throttle control over your clutch and your
Brakes are pretty
speed
important.
Control? Well, it's just a question on how he rides.
I do trail brake a lot with my rear brake on curves, and I do ride a lot of curves. I don't think it's enough to make that much of a difference.
I bet you it's got something to do with the weight.
I don't know if maybe, I don't know. It's something I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to over the next few months for sure. But you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it was like $120.
I was going to say, yeah, you could get brake pads and put them on yourself for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not that hard.
Bucks. Yeah.
They're not that hard. In fact, I'm pretty sure I saw a video one time of somebody doing it with one hand while they were filming it with
yeah, you don't even have iPhone. To take your tire off, man.
You it's do just, not.
It's yeah. one bolt.
Yeah.
Not so to replace brake pads. No.
I'm just curious as to whether it's how the bike's set up or if it's somehow how I'm riding.
Hmm.
Right. So that's, I don't know. I'll figure it out.
You could just be dragging. They could check your master cylinder or something. You might be dragging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you ride with Walter, does he usually ride behind you?
We take turns. It's
okay. Cause I mean, that might be something too. Next time he's riding, you know what I mean? He could, you could ask him like what he thinks about.
You say when they're riding, breaking. You want to know who the caboose is.
Uh-huh. who's following you up?
Yeah. Well, I know Walter will tell you. I mean, when we ride in West Virginia or whatever, we're going through the curves, I set my speed with my rear brake as we're going through curves. That I know I do. But I just don't think it's enough to where my feeling is I'm getting about 50% of what I should be getting right out of the rear brake pads, but I don't know.
Hmm. You know, the one thing that I have, and it could, I mean, if you're getting HD stuff, it shouldn't matter, but it always seems like the factory brake pads last longer than any replacements, at least in my experience.
Yeah. Right.
Anytime I've gotten replacements, they've never lasted as long as the stuff that came on the bike originally.
Even if you're getting, HD pads.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the HD stuff, but I mean, like, even with, like, my vehicles, once when I changed the brakes, I'd never seem to get the same mileage out of replacement pads that I do the originals.
Right.
So, I mean, but, you know, fucking brake pads are a consumable. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not that expensive either.
No, they're
so,
not expensive.
I mean, I think it cost me, like, $140. That's what I paid to have those replaced. So.
Right. It's just one of those questions. You know what I mean? It's kind of irritating when you're, you know, you feel like you're kind of replacing something that should last longer. But
what's funny is when I did that video, when I was doing the edit, I thought I should cut that out because I know Ryan's going to give me shit.
Or
about
what
it
you do is you just trade the bike in on an STCVO.
There you go.
If it didn't have that micro penis thing sticking out.
Oh, back, come on, Dave. That little, you can take care of
that. That ain't micro. That's a big motherfucker.
You can take care of that. You just got to shave it down.
Sounds painful.
Just got to put a little bungee cord on it to hold it down. That's all.
Hmm.
Did you go camping again this weekend or four-wheeling or anything, Tony?
No, I didn't do shit this weekend, dude.
Well, that's good.
No, he hung around and played with his new internet service.
Oh. Shit. Wife came
actually,
home.
Actually, no.
He was probably busy doing honeydew list things.
After all this stuff, like now, like this weekend, I turned my phone off on Friday and didn't turn it on until Monday morning.
Good for you.
Like it.
I was like, I didn't have it, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you know what?
Good for you.
Just trying, you know? We'll see how long that takes, how long it lasts.
Let's hit up some Discord questions.
All right, Discord friends, FDB's about to answer your questions. Make sure you head over to 5dirtybikers.com and click the link on the homepage to visit our Discord and become a member.
Let's do it.
I thought actually, you know, I thought I saw a couple of really good ones.
Well, here's there one from Anonymous. If two trains leave at the same time, train A from San Francisco and train B from New York City, how many hours will Jared need pegged before you hear a safe word?
I'd say at least Albuquerque.
I don't know, Jared. I'm pretty sure he can go in it for the long haul by now.
Yeah.
Chugga, chugga. Whistle and all. Okay.
Say at least to Albuquerque, for sure.
Hey, let's do the last one. I know we're jumping over a lot, but I thought this was a really good question, and the timing is really good now that we're talking about the rides we have planned for FDBM. But it's just the one from Wit.
Okay.
Wit.
And, you know, Wit said that...
not Wit Mesa, by the way.
No, not Wit Mesa. Listening to an old Season 3 podcast, you talk about FDBM that year and how you had two rides planned. One was technical, and you're saying that this one is less technical. It's not a dick measuring contest, et cetera. But what I was wondering is, how would you know if a ride is going to be too technical for you?
So
Which
that was,
I thought was a really good question.
So that's 21. So that would have been in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that was the one that got canceled, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think the two sides of this are when we talk about a ride being technical, let's define that so that everybody knows, like for FDBM, what we're talking about. And then the second side of that is, as a rider, how do you go about determining whether a route is going to be too technical for you?
Sure. So I would have called the ride that we have done down at Dustin's when we went and saw him last summer, and even in 2019 for the first meetup, I would call that a scenic ride and not a technical ride.
Right.
Is what, you know, Dustin's was a lot of 90 degree turns riding along the river, which was a little curvy, but I would say I would call them sweepers, mm-hmm. not, mm-hmm. you know, curvy roads. Right. Yeah. So that's what I would define, how I would define that ride. So, a sweeping turn versus a more technical turn, which is something that requires you to adjust your speed, and you might not be as comfortable riding next to or adjacent to somebody going around the curves. When we ride in Kentucky, the last two times, we've gone on a couple of rides where we would have to go side by side, or we can be adjacent to one another. And occasionally we would have to go single file so that the rider had more lane to use back and forth, depending on how comfortable you were going into the corners. In Kentucky, we had a couple of blind corners that we had to go by, mm-hmm. required some blocking from time to time. I nearly caused an accident, without a doubt, last time we were in Kentucky. So I think that a technical ride, in my definition, would be something that requires more adjustment in speed, adjustment in lane position, and communication amongst the group in terms of what's coming up. You know, Tony, in the last year at FDBM, Tony was communicating to the group, okay, we have a sharp 90, we have a long corner coming up, we have a blind corner coming up, we have a stop sign. He was communicating through that group so that there was an anticipation happening amongst the line of riders, so that if there was we needed to slow down, you didn't all of a sudden see brake lights. Brake lights were happening consecutively through the group of riders. So it was a more predictable ride. So that's how I would define it, if that makes sense.
Tony, you've been riding a long time. When you're talking about a ride being technical, what does that mean to you?
When a ride is technical for me is when there's no room for air. So if I'm riding on some of these back roads and there is no shoulder, and if you go off the edge of the road, you're going for a fucking ride. I mean, a real ride. You know, it's a 50-100 foot drop, you know, literally. To me, that's technical, because if you do make a mistake, it's going to be really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what I consider technical, is just, when you really have to pay attention, you have to be aware of where you are in the lane, and you have to be paying attention the entire time in a situation like that. There's no relaxed, looking down at your phone or anything like that, yeah. Because, I mean, you could end up off the road really quick.
Especially the group.
When we were riding in Kentucky, you know, there were some areas where it was nice and sunny out, and then the trees were over, and so the road gave you a bit of an optical illusion because there were so many different shadows in the road too. And I think, to Tony's point, is that even on the ride that we went on, you know, even through some of the pasture areas where all the you know, the big horse farms and stuff are, there's the road and then there's like a 6-inch drop, but there's no shoulder. So if you did go off the road, you're going to go right into the ditch and flip your bike and it's going to be bad. So,
and you know, some of the hills too, where you come up on them, you can't see what's on the other side.
Yep.
So, I mean, you could be going up this hill doing 50, 60 miles an hour, and it could be a fucking hard right as soon as you hit the summit of that hill. You don't know.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've learned to do, I mean, and here's, I look at the telephone poles. Because the telephone poles run, you know, with the street. So if you're going up a hill and you don't know which way, you can kind of guess by looking at the electrical lines which way it's going to go. It's kind of an indicator, but still, I mean, that's a really good tip.
Yeah,
Dustin, what's, because I remember that when we were riding together in Kentucky during COVID.
Oh yeah, 20.
You know, we spent, you know, had a lot of feedback from you when we were out trying to figure out the route we wanted to ride. Mm-hmm. And you were in that mindset. You were trying to figure out, is this technical? Is it too technical or whatever? So what does that mean when you think about a technical ride or route? What does that mean to you?
Just more than the average amount of sharp turns and curves. My immediate surroundings here, you know, things can be pretty flat. You have to ride for about a half hour to get to some really good roads. But with that in mind, you know, going out and riding new roads can put you in that mindset where you don't know how you're going to do because you don't know what's coming. But just the amount of turns, curves that were there for a new rider was my judgment call. Because when we got to Lexington, when we stopped at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did a video about this. And I even stated, I was like, if you're kind of new to riding and, you know, you're not used to lots of curvy roads and stuff like this, it wasn't just the curves. It was just that the road got really narrow too.
Yeah.
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 So it's kind of a judgment call on, are you going to be prepared for that if you've never been in that situation before?
I would almost say that if you can't put the bike where you want to put it, it's too technical.
Yeah.
If you're in a situation where it's curvy and it's up and down and you can't put that motorcycle where you want it, then you're probably in a too technical situation for you.
Yeah. And I did fine that first time.
Yeah.
Last year I did awesome. It was good. But yeah. it was good having all that communication
right
on the comms so we could anticipate things a little sooner than just, oh, there it is.
Yeah. I think for me, when I'm thinking about saying a road is technical, it's a lot of tight radius turns, mm-hmm. switchbacks, elevation. A lot of people don't think about elevation, rapid changes of elevation in a curve.
Yeah.
Right. It can cause people a lot of problems. Road condition. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think forgiveness of the road, like you guys were saying, you know, whether, because there are a lot of times when you get into tight roads that are maybe one and a half lanes instead of two full lanes,
yeah.
right, that you've got to come into. But
or covered in potholes.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think for me, if to the second part of the question, when I start looking at a route and determining my comfort with it, it's how many things are outside of like my 80% routine experience, right? It's that 20% that I'm looking at. Is that too technical? Do I have a skill set that matches? When we were talking about going out and like doing the dick ride and this stuff at in South Dakota, you know, we're not doing needles, we're not doing Badlands, which is a massive number of tight curves and switchbacks and massive changes in elevation. We're not doing Iron Mountain Road. You know, the roads that we're doing are at most long sweeping curves, right? And I'm talking about super. Ryan just had to drop off, but he could chime in there. But you know, it's a lot of relaxed riding.
And the reason we do that is just trying to keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't want people out there testing their limits on a group ride. That's not a place to test your limits.
No.
In a group ride. A group ride should be where everybody's comfortable. And if you're not, you need to ride toward the back. But still, a group ride is not, I don't think a technical group ride is the right thing to, at least for me. You know what I mean? There's just too much can happen.
Too much. And this is what you see in Sturgis, right? Where when people, like last year, I forgot what the number was, like the first sunny day after all the rain, and several people went off the road and over the cliff, you know, it's because you had a ton of people out there riding these really technical routes. But you do need to, to be do a very honest assessment, right?
Yeah. And I mean, go out and
do I have the skill set to do that?
Go out with one or two people on the technical stuff and start slow and work your way up.
Yeah.
You know,
don't ever just follow Phil blindly without knowing.
Yeah, no. Dude, I go riding with Phil. Fuck Phil. He'll be 3 miles ahead of me. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I will lose comms. He'll get so far ahead of me. But you know how much I care? Not. I'm back there. I'm looking at scenery and shit. That's the reason I like to ride.
What was Phil's comment about that? The guy put a Stage 2 cam in his bike and it's rowdy and he's worried about scenery.
That's the same shit, man. That's the reason I go out and ride. I go out to relax, not to fucking come home with my ass puckered up.
But that was a good question, Whit, and I'm sure that as we get closer to the meetup, we're going to be talking a lot more about the routes and the type that we're going to be doing out there. But never ride outside your comfort zone, especially in a group.
Yeah, no.
You know, build up to it.
And just be honest. Just be honest with your skill level.
Yeah.
I mean,
moving on.
Nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean?
It's not a dick measuring contest with us. Yeah. So Yamimoto has a question. This isn't Yami Noob. This is just Yamimoto. Hey, what would you do if your significant other put their foot down and said no bikes, no riding, nothing as an ultimatum?
Well, I guess I wouldn't have a motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm too old to go through a divorce, dude.
Yeah, man.
You know,
I think everybody presents the same way.
Yeah. I have kids, and you know, as much as I love motorcycling, there's other stuff that's a little more important to me than motorcycling.
But if you're young and newlyweds, what the fuck?
Yeah. Or if you're young and single, you're not quite married yet. Jesus, you got to.
All joking aside, I mean, it's a serious thing, just like anything else that in a marriage that, you know, I mean, it's same as like bungee jumping.
Well, I mean, you know, I went
or paragliding.
I went, almost 15 years without a motorcycle when I got married.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of responsibilities. And, you know, it just wasn't the right thing for us to do at the time.
Making me sound like I fucked up.
No, not at all. Dude. Everybody's different.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's different. You know, I was the only one working. My wife was to stay at home with the kids. And if I got hurt, then, you know, it changed.
My wife wasn't thrilled when I decided to get back on a bike, you know, but we sat down and talked about it, and just like everything else in the marriage, you know, I very, very focused on, okay, why do you feel that way? And then here's what I'm going to do to mitigate that. You know, I'm going to go back through training. I'm going to get certification. I'm going to go, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then I'm not going to get on the bike unless I'm at 100% on all these things.
Anything else.
So here's one from Tony's buddy, Phil.
Fuck, Phil.
Question for the five dirty bastards, answered by three. When adding stuff to the bike, whether it be power mods or comfort or whatever, how often does the might as well attitude punch your wallet right in the dick? Example.
Every time.
You're adding an FXRT fairing to the bike and have to remove your lighting. Might as well change your lighting. And if you change your headlight, you might as well change your signals. And if you change your signals, why not the brake lights? And while we're talking brake lights, might as well look at the brakes.
Dude,
let me tell you. To get new brakes, might as well get new wheels.
tell you what.
It's quite a hole.
He went down the rabbit hole there. But, you know, Phil and I talk a lot. And I am that
hey,
way.
Bring him, got, hey, when you come out here, drag his ass
bring
out
Phil,
here with
yeah,
you.
Man. Phil's a good dude, man. I really
Phil,
like Phil.
Well, is Phil
I give him a hard way to go on the podcast, but he's a good dude, real good dude. But I'm very guilty of that, especially if I, because I do all of my work myself. So if I have something apart and it's easier to go ahead and change it while I have it apart, I'm buying it. You know what I mean? Instead of fucking changing this one thing, putting it all back together, then later on buying this other part, then taking it all apart again. I just soon do it all at one time. I mean, but it does
get so is he talking about like doing it all in the moment?
Yeah. So like if you're changing the fairing, you know, since I'm changing the fairing, I got the headlight out. Why not go ahead and change the headlight? You know, and you know, that's kind of what happened to me when I was doing that FXRT fairing on my bike is, well, I had the headlight, so I did that. But then I ran into a blinker problem because the stock blinkers wouldn't work. So I had to change the fucking blinkers. And then it was like, well, if I do that, I might as well change this to make them all the same. And then I might as well go ahead and wire this in while I'm at it. And, you know, it's just you can definitely go into the rabbit hole when you're doing that. At least I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like doing the cam. Are you going to do the cam or are you going to do the cam and the oil pump? You know, And if you're going to do that, are you going to go ahead and add new lifters? Well, you might as well. You know, you got them out.
Yeah. When I do any mod, my intent is only to do that. And that's just mainly a financial thing.
No, it gets expensive. It
does. Yeah, because it gets expensive. Yeah. Oh, speaking of financials, I don't know if I told you guys this in the group chat or not, but remember when I got almost ran over back in 2020?
Yeah, I was on the phone with you.
Yeah, you were. I finally got my deductible back.
What the fuck?
Yep.
God damn, dude, that's fucking 4 years.
Yeah. Finally got that deductible back. $500 I could have used several times between then and now.
Do they pay you interest?
No.
Fuckers.
But I'm going to say that Percy's in that fucking boat, too, because you just don't do one thing.
No, but this is what I'm trying to figure out, if he's talking about, like, is this spur, like, impulse, right? Because I generally, when I'm going to mod something on the bike, I've thought it through and I know everything that I'm going to do. And maybe even to the point of, okay, I'm going to do this now, but 6 months from now, I'm going to add that, right? Or 3 months or whatever. But I don't, at least with the Road Glide, I really haven't done any. I take it back. One time. That was last summer when I was up at, we went up for the anniversary and I went to the Custom Dynamics booth and I
bought all the,
all shit. I was going to do was the two blade things on the side of the fairing.
Yeah.
And I ended up saying, well, wait a minute, free installation, veteran discount, everything's here. Might as well do the headlight. Well, shit, might as well do the fang. So I will take it back. There's one time that I've actually done this. Yeah. And that was last summer on the headlight.
That might as well. That's kind of what Phil and I, when we talk on the phone, it's like, well, I ordered this. And he goes, well, you might as well just go ahead and order that. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I might as well do that.
In my defense, though, I mean, this was a special, you know, they're doing all the installation free, yanking the fairing off.
Yeah.
All I had to do was give them a credit card. So.
You know, just that's like when I was when I was changing my bars, it would have been easy for me to put the cruise control in.
Yep, there you go.
You know what I mean? But I couldn't get it. But if I would have been able to get it, I would have done it.
Do you have that yet?
You need to get it before
I do.
Yeah, you need it. You need to get it.
I'm not a fan of using the cruise control. I use it, but maybe less than half the time. So while it would be nice, I don't think it's a necessity. And I'm saying that because I don't think you're going to get one.
I don't think you're going to get it either.
Those things are out of stock like crazy.
They've been out of stock for years.
Yeah. You need to find somebody and
take it. You just buy a CVOST.
There you go.
You know, I wanted a cruise control and it was sold out, but the CVOST had it.
This one's
so I might
one.
As well.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
What a good argument.
Baby, I got a cruise control.
Oh, and it came with this bike.
It came with this bike.
I paid $45,000 for this bike. I got free cruise control. What a deal.
I finally got my cruise control. It came in. It just so happened to be installed on this motorcycle.
Look at how much shit I can put in these bags that came with my cruise control.
Look how much faster I can get home when you say be home at this time.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh my God.
All right, moving on. We'll do a couple more and we'll bid everybody good day.
I do.
Mike Oxlong.
It is.
I have a very serious question. It's a question I use to see someone's personality. If you had a cheeseburger, what two toppings are you putting on it? There's already cheese on it. Say what kind of cheese, and condiments count as toppings.
Man, two's not going to do it for me. Yeah, I want that motherfucker loaded down.
Yeah, give me
diced onions and diced onions and black olives
on a burger
and cheddar. Yeah, cheddar cheese.
That's a new one.
Black olives.
Mm.
No shit.
Diced raw onions and black olives.
I'm down with the onions. I mean, I could eat a fucking just put onions as thick as the burger, and I could go down on it. Yeah.
Especially if you saute. I like sauteing a thick slice of onion and then putting it on the burger.
Oh, man, I used to eat raw onions when I taught at the academy before inspections. Mm. Love those things.
I'm the same way. My wife bitches at me all the time. I mean, dude, I fire down some onions.
I'm going to say bacon and tomato.
Bacon's a good one.
Bacon and tomato.
No food lube? You got to have some food lube on there.
You can only have two.
You're going to choke to death.
I'm going with tomato over any lube, but dude, I got to do ketchup and mayonnaise together.
You know what? There's something to be said just with the way McDonald's does their shit too, with the ketchup and the mustard and the pickles and the onions.
Yeah.
It works. It's a good fucking little mix going on.
I don't
on
special
there.
Order my shit there.
Just give me the fucking little, or the White Castle, you know, fucking pickles and onions.
So when you guys come here, I'm going to take you guys to the cabin for a burger because we just went to get on Saturday. Those fucking
brother, I'm not going to a cabin in the woods with you. I don't care what kind of burger you
this
got.
This is on Route 66. You'll be fine.
All right.
You'll be fine.
Take your ass to the cabin.
That's a hard one, man, because I like a lot of shit on my burger.
Medium rare.
Yeah.
No, rare.
All right.
Ozman, who I think is new to the Discord, welcome. Comfort then performance for me, Nick. Mostly you can make. Oh, I don't. I think
yeah,
this is
an
this
answer.
Is this is an answer to a question.
Okay, yeah, well, Nick above.
This is from Nick. Okay, when y'all do mods on a brand new bike, do you start with comfort and looks, then performance, or performance and comfort and looks?
I go comfort first.
Yeah, same.
Comfort, safety, performance.
Yeah,
that's my three.
Yeah.
Yep. And that boat.
Yeah.
I think.
But Ozman did cometh with a reply. Comfort than performance for me, Nick. Mostly you can make your bike comfortable cheaper than performance. I live in the Midwest, so winter where I could take bike apart and not want to ride it. I'm either reading that wrong or he typed it wrong.
I'll be right back.
But.
Well, we're leaving.
Well, hang on. I got to piss.
All right. Damn. We're down two. We're down three people, Dustin.
Down three.
One's up in New Hamster.
New Hamster. Yeah,
the other had to leave to do a kid thing. Won't say what. And then Mr. Got to pee. Damn.
We're survivors.
We are. I don't have to pee. Do you have to pee?
No, dude. I'm good.
Yeah.
I shit twice and pissed four times today. I was good to stop.
God damn,
show.
Bro! Did you go back to White Castle or something?
No, I had some wings from this Chicago style pizza place.
Jesus!
Today,
one of my kids took a shit in there and it smelled like somebody got a perm. I mean, oh my God!
You got that soul glow,
dude.
That was offensive. I walked in there, was like a smack in the face.
Did that curl your toes?
It did. They didn't even hit the fan or anything.
No, I mean, that's not right, dude.
I mean, it smelled like a perm in there, dude.
Dude, we got one bathroom in this house, and it's small. I courtesy flush every time.
Burning hair.
He got that soul glow.
Well, now that you're back.
Oh yeah, I had to piss, man. At my age, you can't hold that.
you weren't gone that long. It must have came out like a fire a
fucking rocket,
shit,
dude. Right? I mean, when I go in there, it's ready. Everything's ready to roll.
So there you go, Brittany. Read us out. Where's Brittany?
Brittany's at the pegging convention.
Oh.
Speaking of gerbils and stuff, you guys heard about the new hamster trend?
I don't know, but you got one up your ass because your audio keeps going out. He's trying to get his kids out of the room.
He is.
He's like, I can't have them around here when I'm talking about this.
It's too much. This is not for young ears.
It's too much for the young ears.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Did you hear about the new hamster trend?
No, I didn't.
That's where you pull down your pants and the girl opens up the sunroof and you lay on top of it and she acts like she's a thirsty hamster.
Jesus.
What the fuck? That doesn't even make any sense.
Oh, it does.
Yes, it does. Just gotta think about it.
You ever seen a hamster drink?
Oh, my God.
Looking like a circus seal.
Your children were out of the room, bro.
She's got a neck like a circus seal.
That's dangerous. I mean, you could wreck doing that.
Man, you could throw a vertebrae out.
I swear, my first time.
Yep, the first time you did it, you did what?
That's the first time he did it, he gagged up. Oh, Lord.
Brittany, have a good time in Gerbil, New Jersey.
Gerbil, Jersey.
Hope they pack the rubber sheets.
Mmm.
Anyway, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the 5 Dirty Backers podcast.
Well, 3.5.
Yeah.
And a gerbil hunter.